Philippians chapter 3, verse number 10, is where we were, and we've been for the last two or three weeks. We got away from there. We moved away from there last Sunday evening, so we're just going to use that as a springboard, like a gymnast hits the springboard, and to get onto some of the equipment, the parallel bars, the pommel horse and things like that. And so we're going to springboard off of verse 10, just barely going to read it and then move on, but it kind of gives us the foundation for where we are. Verse number 10, that I may know him. Why don't we say verse 10 together, all right? And it reads, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. So there's the standard. There's where we are. That everything we do in light of the resurrection of Christ. Yes, but the suffering of Christ, what did he go through? That needs to be foundational for how we live our lives today. It's not just the moment of salvation, but how we live our lives, the priorities, just like I spoke of a moment ago. Whatever we do needs to be foundationally based on what did the Lord go through in order for us to have what we have. Okay? May I say it again? What did the Lord go through in order for us to have what we have? Had he not died for our sins, could we be saved? Yes or no? No, according to God's economy, according to God's will. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. There's none. And we, the aggregate of humanity, the whole of humanity, would be lost in our sins and undone. And as Paul said, we would be of all men, most miserable, because we have this blessed hope. And if there is no such thing. So that's where we are. That serves as the foundation, that we may know him, or that I may know him, the power of his resurrection. Whoa! The fellowship of his suffering. Yes. Oh, now it becomes Randy, and it becomes your name. Being made conformable unto his death. All right, so let's move on. Verse 11. If by any means, okay, if by is really if you look at it in the language, it has a continuation to it. If so is the idea there. If even or also, okay. So understanding that if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. We spent quite a bit of time on that last time, so we won't this time. But in my opinion, based on the context, he's talking about the judgment seat of Christ. When we have a resurrected body and we're with the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, then we want to hear him say, well done. We don't want him to ask why. We don't want to hear all of the, well, here's what I did so that you could serve me. Here's what I did so I maneuvered you into a certain place so that you could grow in the Lord, or so that you could be used of the Lord some way every day, or whatever it is. No, Paul said, wait a minute. I want to be so close to the Lord, understanding the foundational principle of his suffering and the sweet, intimate fellowship that I can have with him during times of suffering, but other times because it gives me the opportunity on a daily basis when I have my time with the Lord, that intimate worship in the Word of God, yes, and in prayer, and worship the Lord, okay? That will change our lives so that our priorities, our passions, our principles are all foundationally based on the Word of God and on the will of God. When we're doing that, then he says that if so be, or if by any means, that I might attain. I'm going to be right where I want to be at the resurrection of Christ. And that's at the judgment seat of Christ. The various crowns to be distributed to the faithful, to those who are looking for his coming, to those who, those various things. Now we come to verse number 12, and Paul lets us know, wait a minute, put the brakes on here. I've not attained yet. Verse 11, if by any means that I might attain. But now verse number 12, he is saying, don't overestimate where I am. I've got a ways to go too, spiritually, he's saying. Notice what he says. Not as though I had already attained, either were already, what's the next word? Say it with me real loudly. Perfect. That's right. Complete. We talked about that last week. I know I'm not complete. I've got a long way to grow and to go in growing in Christ. He says, either we're already perfect, but I follow after. Anybody remember what I mentioned about the word follow? Is it a gentle walk? Is it kind of like a soldier walks? Anybody remember how I demonstrated that? Yeah, that's right. It's dioko. It's the word that has to mean run after and break the door off. No, you don't really want to do that, all right? But it's the idea to pursue, to attain. It's not a casual walk. That would be a different walk. And the Greek would be peripateo. It has the idea of walking around, walking around. This is not that word. It means to go after and put your hands on it, so to speak. Even in 2 Timothy 2:22 has the same idea in mind. Now, know what he says, but I follow after. Why? Because he said, there's foundational things that have to be in my life, because when I go to see Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, I want to arrive at the right place. Now, I'm not there yet. That's verse 12. I'm not there yet, but here's what I'm going to do, Paul says. I'm going to run after. I'm going to follow after. Why? That I may apprehend, that I can put my hands on it, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. How did God put his hand on the Apostle Paul? How did he do that? What was Paul called to do that maybe you and I are not called to do? He was called an what? Starts with letter A. Apostle, that's right. God's not still calling apostles, even though you may see them on TV. They say, I'm Apostle John, I'm Apostle Henry, I'm Apostle or whatever it is. And we won't go into the office of being an apostle tonight. But Paul was called by God. In other words, when God called Paul, Paul's way of saying that in this verse is, he says, I've not apprehended, I've not put my hands on everything God has in store for me yet. I've not yet attained everything that I want to attain by the time I get to the judgment seat of Christ. Okay? There's some things God wants me to do, and I haven't gotten them finished yet. But I'm going to run after those things because I want to accomplish everything God wants me to accomplish before I see Him face to face. And then he says that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. You know something, friend? You're here tonight, live stream, wherever you are. God wants to use you. This is where we finished last time. God wants to use you. He's calling you to do something. It may be to go into missions. It may be to support more missions. It may be to witness to your next door neighbor. It may be there's a gazillion things that maybe in that gazillion things that God wants to do among us, He has something for you to do. And Paul says, I'm running after it. I don't want to miss a certain thing that God has for me to do. Now, God apprehended me for a reason. God called me for a reason. God called me to be a youth pastor for about 15 years. Never wanted to pastor. Never even thought about it. Just never. And then God began dealing with me, and I ran from it for about 2 or 3 years. And finally, I had to come to a place. I won't put you through the little story, but I had to come to a place where I said, okay, Lord, I don't know why you want me to be a pastor, but if that's what you want me to be, I'll be that. And I fought it for a good while. And even after being a pastor, I struggle with it. I've told you the story, I think, and so I won't go into it tonight. But I struggle with it for quite a number of years. And then finally, I just said, Lord, I've got to know. I have to know. And God showed me in a very specific way exactly. Boom. Next day, showed me. The next day, boom. Same exact thing. And about a week later, boom. Same thing again. I said, okay, Lord, I'll never question again. I'll never question again. I'll just be faithful. And I'll do what you want me to do, and I'll try to get better. Until you finish with me in that task, I'll try to get better and better and better. But Lord, I'll never question you again as far as doing it. So Paul was saying the same thing I'm trying to say tonight is, I've got a ways to go yet. And being a good pastor, a godly pastor, I want to be. I want to be a good preacher. I've got a long way to go on that. But I'm not going to quit until I see Jesus or until God says, all right, Randy, it's time up for that. Now I want you to do something else, whatever it is he wants me to do and wants us to do. Now the point is, he says here, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended. God put his hand on me. God put his hand on you, and he's doing so. And he's saying, I want you to do this. Now our responsibility is to follow after, is to dioko, is to go after it and say, oh Lord, I'm scared. You want me to do what? Lord, I can't do that. I'm not qualified. Lord, I can't do that. I'm too old. Lord, I can't do that. I'm too young. Lord, I'm too this or that. I'm too poor. I'm too wealthy. I'm too whatever. Take off the twos and just remember what he started, verse 11. If by any means. In other words, if it's at all possible. In the Greek language, it's written in a thing called the subjunctive. That it can come to pass, or it's a contingency. It may not come to pass. And Paul says, wait a minute, I've not yet attained, but I follow after if that by any means. It may not happen. I want it to happen. I don't want to let up because I've not arrived yet. I've not apprehended that. I did this last week. I've not yet apprehended that which you've called me to do, Lord. I'm not finished with it yet. So I'm going to put my hands on it until you tell me to let go. Now let's go to the next passage. Verse 13. And it's an exciting verse. Brethren, he says, I count not myself to have apprehended. Okay, so there it is again. So what's he going to do? Is he going to sit in a corner and say, I'm not being used to God. I can't do it as good as Brother Simmons does it. And I'll never be able to sing like Miss Gretchen sings. And I'll never be able to administrate like Brother Jesse does. And I'll never be able to cook like so-and-so does when we have dinner on the grounds. And Lord, is that what he's saying? No. Paul has said twice, I've not yet attained. I've not yet apprehended. I'm going to push on and I'm going to work to that direction God's calling me to go. That's what I'm going to do. So how does he do it? He mentions three things. Okay? He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but that's a contrasting conjunction. Okay, you say, you sure get into grammar a lot. Well, I need it because it helps me to understand what he's saying. A contrasting conjunction is the thought process is going this way. I've not yet apprehended. Okay, he's going that direction. But a contrasting conjunction, the three-letter word B-U-T, but, is this. He's going in this direction. I've not yet apprehended. But, as they do in the army or whatever, about face. He says, I have not yet apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I left part of the verse out. I knew I did. All right? It's forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And he says, I still missed it, didn't I? I'm trying to quote it right, and I missed it. This time I'll read it and get it right, all right? Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, here's where I left it out, and reaching forth, reaching out, stretching oneself, reaching out, okay, he says, reaching forth unto those things which are before. He's not there yet, hadn't got it yet, doesn't have it in his hands and heart yet. He says, reaching forth for those things which are before. And then he says, verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. A three-step process. And I would encourage you, Brother Tim, I'd encourage you, Brother Dean, I'd encourage you, sister and brother here tonight, get the three-step process down. Pray for your preacher that I'll have it down. I mean, just as fast as what you do when you're trying to give somebody CPR. All right, first you do this, secondly you do that, thirdly you do this. Okay. Well, this is a CPR. Or it is the directives of how to succeed. It's applicable in either way. If you're sitting on the sideline and maybe you're having spiritual respiratory problems and you're winded, maybe you've gotten the wind knocked out of you, so to speak, and you're by the side, if you'll just right where you are, say, all right, here's a three-step process. I'm going to follow this. Or maybe you're fully engaged in moving forward in attitudes and ambitions and actions for the Lord. No matter where you are, you're saying, wait a minute, as far as I know, Brother Bray, I'm right with the Lord, and I want God's will in my life, and I know I'm not in heaven yet. And so that means God has something he's calling me to do, to apprehend, to attain, so that when I'm at the resurrection of the dead, at the judgment seat of Christ, I'll hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So preacher, I, as far as I know, there's nothing hindering me right now from being in the will of God. Good. Keep this in mind. This is where the Apostle Paul was. He was greatly used of the Lord, was he not? He had a thorn in the flesh to keep him humble before God so that it's all about God and not about Paul. But here's what he says. This one thing I do, okay? This I'm setting it down. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark. So let's look at those three things to start with. Number one, forgetting those things which are behind. If I could borrow your eyes and your hearts here for a second. That's applicable whether the things behind are wonderful or wicked. Those things which are righteous, those things that are rotten. Now, does it mean that you don't ever think about those things ever again? No. Philippians chapter 4 says, whatsoever things are what? True. 4:8. I should have told you which verse. Whatsoever things are what? True. And it says, think on these things. Okay? So whatever is true, I'm supposed to think on those things, right? Not necessarily. Okay, we're not finished with the verse yet. Some things are true and it's not appropriate to think about them. Okay? A lot of things. I've done a lot of counseling through the years. Still doing some counseling. And as I'm doing that, there's things that, wait a minute, there's not a righteous reason to be thinking about that, at least not right now. Now, there may be an appropriate reason, but let's look at it. He says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. The word honest has the idea of awe, A-W-E, has the idea of there's a reverence about it. Think on these things. Good, good, good. If it's true, if it's a reverence about it, think on these things. But the third one is the word just. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. The word just, in the Greek language, that same word is translated over and over and over in the English language. We've mentioned this before, but we'll just rehearse it again for my mind and for yours too. It's translated as righteous or right or righteousness. Okay? So it is the idea, there's whatsoever things are true, think on these things. Whatsoever things are honest, think on these things. But then he says, whatsoever things are just. So the question we have to ask ourselves, is there a righteous reason for me to be thinking about this? And that's where you and I, in forgetting those things which are behind, it may be wasted years. It may be intimidations that will hinder you from doing God's will. It may be fears. It may be PTSD. It may be anxiety disorder. It may be whatever it is. And we could give all kinds of disorders here tonight and to where people, they have to take medications in order so that they do not have to go through that and all of this. And he is saying, wait a minute, there's not a righteous reason. And let me put a brief parenthesis here. All right? We won't go into all the steps of recovering from in the army with a war or a police officer that's dealing with brutality and just stuff that happens. All right, I understand that. I've worked with a number of folks that have gone through that, and so I'm not making light of it at all. Not light of it at all. But what I am saying is this, that there's a lot of Christians who allow those things that have happened to them in the past or they've done in the past, and so it's in 3D and surround sound, and they don't realize that thoughts can come into their minds, as Romans 7, 21 through 25 and 26. There's thoughts that come into 25, thoughts that come into our minds that don't originate with our will. They come by the way of our flesh and the devil, and they come in to tempt us to give in to sin. And so Paul is saying here, the first thing I'm going to do is forget those things which are behind. If there's not a righteous reason for me to be thinking about it. Now, there may be a time when you are growing in the Lord or have grown in the Lord and someone else is going through the same thing. There may be a righteous reason for you to go back and open that door of the past and say, let me tell you what God has done. I have found the Word of God to be sufficient. I have found the Holy Spirit to be there when I was going through these things. And you know what, friend? If you'll follow the biblical pathway, you will find your way of leaving behind those things that need to be behind. This is what God did for me. And you're helping someone else. So you open the door. It may be something difficult like cancer or something else. That, boy, you think about that, the loss of that loved one. And when you think about them and you're having good memories and all of that, and then all of a sudden the absence of that individual is there and you're just miserable, miserable. There's a biblical pathway to get delivered from that. But there may be a time when you can help someone else. But you have to develop the skill set, so to speak, of putting those things behind until the Lord says, Tim, think about this. Think you've got a neighbor that's going through this. And you know what I've done in your life and how to get you to think about that which is true? Yes. Honest? Yes. But is there a righteous reason? No, for the last whatever it is, there's not a righteous reason. Oh, but you've got a neighbor that's going through that same thing and doesn't know. As a Christian, doesn't know how to deal with it. Open the door to the past in your mind. be reminded by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God the pathway out, then you can share it with that individual. And number one, give him the pathway that's biblical. Number two, give him the second stanza is what God's done in your life through that pathway. And then as soon as you're finished with that, you have to be able to close that door back again. So as you and I go through that, we say, Lord, I need your help in being able to see this done. All right, so he says, number one, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, I've talked about the negative things and the other things. There's some people that never put behind them how much God's used them. And they walk around with spiritual pride. Maybe they're academically inclined and they've secured a number of degrees, and there's nothing wrong with academic excellence and going after it. And you folks know that I've tried to do that in my life, and realizing that I need to be a good steward. If God's led me, I hadn't planned on it, but God led me to go back to school when I was already a husband and a dad of two sons, and he led me to go back and get an undergraduate degree. And I thought that was going to be all. And the Lord wouldn't let me alone about staying there. That I needed to be able to look into the deep things of God, so to speak. And so he pushed me when I was a pastor up in Asheville and to go back to school. And I said, Lord, this is driving back and forth every day down to Ambassador from Asheville. I'm a full-time pastor. I'm on the radio every day. We have a Christian school of about 200. And Lord, over 200 at the time. And Lord, I don't know exactly what's going to happen here. And Lord wouldn't leave me alone. And so I finished that finally. It took me several years to be able to finish it. From Ambassador and Bob Jones and another school or two. UNCA took Greek and Hebrew there. Greek and Spanish there. Third year Greek I took at Ambassador. But the point I'm trying to make is this, that sometimes God says, all right, and tells us what to do. And we're good at what we do. Very good at what we do. And if we're not careful, we'll forget that all that has to happen is a little stroke. Boop! That fast. And you lose those academic abilities. And if we walk around like a jacket on the back and we just kind of flash it around a little bit, you know, of what I can do, maybe I'm, skilled at whatever it is, and a homemaker or a businessman or whatever it is, we walk around and we've got it, and we can, maybe in the business world, we can drive a certain kind of car. We got a certain kind of an elephant on our lapel. I don't know if they use elephants or not, but anyway, a certain thing on our lapel. And there's nothing wrong with having a certain garment if it's made well and you've learned this kind of shirt or this, it lasts 3 times longer than anything else. That's just a good investment. But if you're walking around so that you can go to a place of business or whatever and you kind of shift out there, and he's saying, wait a minute. You forget those things which are behind, even good things. Maybe you've led a lot of folks to Christ. Maybe you've grown in the Lord substantially from where you were. And you look at others and you're comparing yourself to others who have not grown, and you're thinking, man, they should have been where I am. If they'd have just paid attention in church, if they had just studied in school, they'd be where I am, but they didn't do it. And we get lifted up in pride and so forth. So he is saying here, step number one is put everything behind you. Just give it to the Lord. And if it needs to be brought up, God will tell you that. If you need to open that door, maybe it's to academics, maybe it's to business, maybe it's to death, maybe it's to something else. And if God wants you to use that in a way with somebody else, then he'll open the door, and there will be a righteous reason to do it. Not a proudful reason, but a righteous reason to do it. God may call you to speak to 10 people. God may call you to speak to 1,000 people. But it's not about you. It's about what God wants to do in you and through you that makes the difference. So here we go. First step is forgetting those things which are behind. Number two is reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now, if I'm just reaching forth when I've got the notion to do it, ooh, yeah, and I'm doing that with an impulse, and the rest of the time I'm just kind of passive. But then maybe it's missions conference. Boy, yeah, I gotta pray for missionaries. And then we forget about it. Or boy, I want to be a part of this. And then we back off. No, he says, reaching forth. That has the idea for Brother Chris. That has the idea for Marlon. It has the idea for each one of us here tonight to say, wait a minute, here's God's formula for apprehending that for which I'm apprehended, for attaining that which I want to be already there when I see at the judgment seat of Christ. I don't want to be in neutral. I don't want to be sitting there at the motor going, brr, yes, I love the Lord. Brr, yes, I'm just sitting there in neutral and seeing God work in other ways. And boy, it's brr. No, he is saying, put it in gear. Find ways to be used of God. Ask the Holy Spirit to open doors for you. And if you start in that direction, say, Lord, I don't know exactly what you want me to do, but I do have a burden for children's church. I do have a burden for whatever it is. And so, Lord, unless you stop me, Lord, I'm going to move in that direction. And if he doesn't want you to, he'll stop you. I mean, he's able to open the ground in a brand new way and swallow up the ones who were dissenting, those who were in rebellion. And God said, boom. They're gone. If God can send them across in dry ground through the Red Sea, God can take you and me. He can take us and use us for his honor and glory. So the first step is forgetting those things. Don't let them be a distraction in a positive way or in a negative way. Now, they can be like cheerleaders. Nothing wrong with that. And as the Holy Spirit, as you say, okay, Lord, seems like you want me to do this. And the Holy Spirit will use the past in which you've been used of God or you've grown in the Lord. That's part of 2 Peter chapter 1. Add to your faith virtue, moral uprightness, doing the right thing at the right time, at the right reason, for the right place, at the right place. But the very next thing is knowledge. It's experiential knowledge. Where when you and I do the right thing at the right time, for the right reason, in the right place, when we do that, God's going to work. Amen or no? Okay, I think I put everybody to sleep. All right, I'll quit here in just a second. But the point is, when we're doing that, God's going to work. And that brings about experiential knowledge. And when you and I need that experiential knowledge for what God's wanting us to do now, as we're reaching forth saying, Lord, I'm not exactly sure, but it seems like you're leading in a particular direction. When I reach forth, the Holy Spirit is going to remind me of how he's worked through faith before. Not his faith in me, but my faith in him and my faith in the Word of God, my faith in the Lord. And when we're reaching forth, notice what he says, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, notice what he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The mark. 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 Where have I heard that before? Mark. Oh, yes. It was Thomas, was it not? Was it Thomas? Yes, Thomas. Unless I see the mark of the nail print in your hand and thrust my hand into your side, I will not believe. 8 days later, the Lord just shows up in the room. He says, Thomas, put your finger into the mark of the print in my hand. There's an indentation there, Thomas. Oh, my Lord and my God. You remember he had just finished saying, I have not yet apprehended that for which I am apprehended of Christ. There is a mark that God wants us to meet. It's not the mark of the nail print in his hand. But notice what he said. Forgetting those things. Step one, forgetting those things which are behind. Number two, reaching forth unto those things which are before. Number three, I press toward the, what's the next word? The mark. What would that mark be? In Paul's mind, that for which I'm apprehended. That's right. It's the goals that God's called us to meet. There's something God wants you to do and something God wants me to do, maybe just for today, maybe just for tomorrow, maybe it's for the rest of your life. And Paul says, whatever I know or whatever I think God wants me to do, I'm going to move in that direction. I'm going to press toward the mark because I want to attain. He said, if so be, if by any means are the exact words, But it has the idea that it can happen or it may not happen. But what is up to the grabs here, so to speak, is whether or not I'm pressing toward the mark. I can see Jesus at the resurrection of the dead, and I shall, at the judgment seat of Christ. And I'm either going to be a faithful steward of for that for which I'm apprehended. God knew where I would be at my age. God knew where I would be at my station in life. God knew all about my health. God knew about this. He knew about that. He knew about this. And that's what he has for my life. And that's what he has for you, Sister Simmons. That's what he has for you, Sister Vicky. That's what he has for each one of us. There's a mark, not a nail print, but there is that for which you are apprehended. And we can go skipping along life's way, and we can say, da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da, I'm a member of Calvary Baptist Church, and I go to church, and I'm even here when a lot of folks stay at home, or I'm a part of the choir, and I'm okay. Now, I'm not making light of being here or singing in the choir. Praise God for both of those. But what I'm saying is, there ought to be that ambition that's just, ooh, it's just bubbling up, not in a bad way, like a temper, but it's just bubbling over in your heart. Because Paul said, the love of Christ, what does it do for me? It constraineth us. Oh, how can I do less than give him my best and live for him completely after all he's done for me? Sorry about that. It's the old teenage song. After all he's done for me, after all he's done for me, how can I do less than give him my best and live for him completely? That's what Paul's saying here. After all he's done for me, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. God didn't call everyone to be an apostle. He just called 12. Paul being one born out of due time. To be an apostle. But he has a calling on each one of our lives. It may be in full-time ministry. It may be just to be a full-time Christian listening for the ear of the Lord or for the voice of the Lord saying, witness to that man. Tell that woman about Jesus. Or that Christian is discouraged. We have people in our church that regularly go through difficult times. Miss Beth, she's probably with her family today. But Miss Beth stays ill a lot. Okay, she looks healthy and she works all the time as much as she possibly can, but she's ill a lot. She has real problems with asthma and allergies and just really suffers from it. I think about brother, and he was here earlier. I don't think he's still here. Brother Jeff's still here. Did he step out? I think he stepped out. Brother Jeff and his dear wife, she goes through a lot as well. We could go on and talk about this individual and that individual. And maybe God wants you to be a card ministry. To just go to the store and buy 500 cards and say, you know what? I may not preach a sermon. I may not be able to sing in the choir unless the Lord changes my joyful noise into melodious song. But what I can do is I can buy a bunch of cards and say, oh, sister, whomever it is, just want you to know I'm praying for you. Or brother, I know you're going through some tough times. I'm your sister in the Lord. Just want you to know I'm praying for you. Listen, when you and I are following what God touches your heart about, there's no regrets. But if we ignore it and say, why in the world did I think about that? I could never do something like that. Oh, I could show you all kinds of examples. I could take and introduce you to all kinds of examples of people that didn't think they could do what God's called them to do. Whether it's to be someone that makes friends and they go alongside for just over and over and over and over. Don't underestimate how God can take the stones and make them cry out for his glory. Let's finish with this. We're going to finish early tonight. Notice what he says in verse 15. He's kind of wrapping this up, this whole from verse 10 through 14. Verse 15, he says, let us therefore, there's the conclusion, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, or you're in the place where God wants you to be for right now. He says, be thus minded. Okay, so he is saying, if I could borrow your eyes for a second, he is saying, for those of you who are already walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh, for those of you who are already reaching out and you're not standing back, just waiting for God to write it on your living room wall, thou shalt sing in the choir, thou shalt whatever it is. No, you're reaching, looking for ways to be used of God some way every day. Tell you what, will you say that with me, please? Be used of God some way every day. Okay, here we go. Be used of God. Some way, every day. That ought to be an anthem on every one of our hearts. Be used of God. So we say it one more time. be used of God some way every day. Let's be used of God some way every day. And then you have the second stanza is grow in the Lord some way every day. Grow in the Lord some way every day. So when those are in tandem, you're growing in the Lord, in the Word of God, in prayer, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. When you're growing in the Lord every day and you're being used of God some way every day, you're going to be on the exact pathway that the Apostle Paul was. And that's what he is saying in this next verse. Notice what he says. Let us, okay, he's including himself. He's talking about the Christians there in Philippi that would meet that standard. Not perfect, no. Hadn't attained yet. Not until I'm going to keep at it until the resurrection of the dead. I'm not fully apprehended what that which for which I'm apprehended, Paul said. But that is my heart, and I'm reaching forth. So, let us therefore, as many be perfect or complete, be thus minded. Now, how many of you have perfect understanding? My hands down. How many of you know everything that God has in store for you? My hands down. That's why he puts the last phrase in there. Notice what it says. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything be otherwise minded, in other words, this is not what's on my radar. Notice what it says, God shall reveal even this unto you. There's a statement someone helped me with a long, long time ago. It's profound. Now, I don't know if you can comprehend its profundity or not. All right? It's this, you don't know what you don't know. He said, what? You don't know what you don't know. It has all kinds of applications. Just about the time you think you've arrived at what, boy, I've got this down. You don't know what you don't know. It's because you don't know it, you think it's not out there, but it's out there. And Paul is saying this, there's going to be things that you think everything's just right. Well, God's not finished, because it says in Philippians, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until you're perfect. Is that what it says? No. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until when? The day of Jesus Christ. That's right. Until you see him face to face. We're a constant work. And so what are you saying to my sister Beverly back there? What are you saying to my sister and brother up here? And well, I guess no one's back there. But what are you saying is that we can be fully engaged and reaching forth and just absolutely energetically, not necessarily bodily with energy, but just energy of heart, energy with mind, saying, Lord, I'm going to keep reaching to do what you want me to do right where I am, whether I'm in a hospital bed and I'm going to be here for years to come, or whether I'm full of body and everything is just, Lord, until you call me home, I'm going to keep pressing and keep reaching. And what he's saying in this last phrase is you don't know what you don't know. God may have an avenue for you to pursue that you don't know about yet. So you can't really pray intelligently about it until after you're there. And God says, all right, now, here's where you're going. Here you go, Sydney. I didn't reveal that until you were in this setting so that you could have the background of understanding, well, I would have never done that, but God did this in me and through me, and if God did that, why, maybe he can use me in that way. Or I'm heading towards temptation, and the Holy Spirit is telling us to be careful. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Now, he's going to provide a means of escape whereby we're able to bear it. So all of that to say tonight, and I hope it's been a help, probably nothing you haven't understood and heard before, but in the review of it from God's Word, as he gave us his Word to review, to study it, that maybe it will be for some of us tonight to go home in a time when you're alone, perhaps pillowed your head already for sleep, and just say, Holy Spirit, Pastor really went through that tonight again. Philippians chapter 3, verses 10, and I mean, he's been there for 2 or 3 weeks now, but now, tonight is the culmination of that. So Holy Spirit, I don't know what you're doing in my heart, but I want you to do everything you want to do in my heart. And Lord, I'm going to pray for a special time, a divine appointment on a daily basis where I can come and be alone with you in the Word and in prayer. Whether it's early in the morning, late at night, whenever it is, Holy Spirit, you tell me and I'll be there. I will be there. I'll be there. I would, for if a judge said, I want you to be here, I'd make sure I was there. If the President of the United States, as much as I would disagree with just about everything he does, if I got a note from the President, say, Randy Bray, I want you to meet with me. Okay, I'm going to do that. I'm not going to let having whatever else interfere with that because of his position. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we all had that kind of tenacity, dedication, opportunity to meet with the Lord? And when you do, it will marry our hearts with His will. And you'll come away understanding the Word of God, enjoying the Holy Spirit. And you'll be able to worship God as never before, but you'll be able to accomplish things for God that you could never have done before. Forgetting those things that are behind, ugly, yeah, just leave them with the Lord. If they're under the blood, you ask God to forgive you, and maybe before you got saved, don't let them come and 3D and surround and knock you around, slap you around. Every time you do that, He's going to keep doing it. Time to stop it. With God's help, there's a way to do it, and if I can help, let me know. Things that are great, and God's used you in a magnificent way. Praise the Lord for that. Let Him be a cheerleader, but put Him behind you. Otherwise, you're going to be doing this. Dragging them up instead of reaching forth. May God help us to do that. Will you join me in standing? We're going to finish 5 minutes early. Exactly 5 minutes early. All right. Thank you for being here tonight. I love you folks. And I hope it's been a help. Father, we love you. We would ask your blessing upon the study of the Word tonight. It's not a deep, deep doctrinal study. And yet it is absolutely doctrinal. In sanctification. In all kinds of different doctrines, Father. So I pray that you will take it to our hearts much better than I can articulate, much better than I can speak or communicate. Holy Spirit, will you take it to the hearts to where individually we allow you to so envelop our hearts with your love that we envelop our hearts with a passion to grow in you some way every day and to be used of you some way every day. And we'll thank you for it. Please dismiss us with thy blessing. And those who couldn't be with us tonight because they're ill or for whatever reason, we pray your blessing upon them. And for those who are with family, Lord, this is a special day. We understand that. But Lord, I pray that you'll just give them a sweet time of fellowship. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good night.